Hi, welcome to the ESI What's Next podcast. I'm your host, Alex Feldman, and I'm taking you on a journey to learn about the exciting student entrepreneurs coming out of the ESI program. In the second part of our mini-series, Organizing for a Good Time, we're sitting down with Justice Bernard and Reynis Aniskovic from the Jollity team to learn about how they started a company and how they are helping families find activities to share with their children. More and more families are turning to digital solutions to help them deal with the speed of modern life. How can they bridge the gap between the digital and the physical? Justice and Reynis, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Sure, thanks. So thank you very much, Dmitris, for inviting us. It's a pleasure to be here. About us ourselves, I guess first. I used to study law at Riga Graduate School of Law. That's also where I met my co-founder Justus and the other co-founder Christopher, who is not able to join us today. But yeah, I'm currently on an academic leave and working as a product analyst at another startup, Giraffe 360, in real estate technologies currently.
So I'm from Germany. I'm not actually from Latvia, right? So I study at the Technical University of Munich, business informatics. So that's like a mix of business and IT, right? Where I met my co-founders Reynis and Christophers, that was at my semester abroad in Riga in Latvia. So something I definitely didn't expect when coming to Latvia was ending up founding a company with people I met there. So I'm very happy about that. And thereby, since I know a little bit coding and I know a little bit of the technical side, that kind of fit very well. And we work well with each other, I think.
So can you just elaborate on this? Can you dive into a little bit more of, you know, what was your guys' kind of origin story? How did you guys decide to come together to get this project going? We'll go from there.
Yeah, so we met in a business lab of STC Riga, which is basically, I don't know, some of the listeners might know, maybe you know, Alex, you know for sure, the business incubation course of STC Riga, which is like an interdisciplinary course where designers come in, where people from the STC Riga come in, so business kind of side, and also people from RGSL, so that's where Reynis came in. And basically there you make up teams, you try to work on a problem you want to solve, and then basically it goes through the process of the lean startup. So you're like problem testing in the beginning, then you're trying to come up with the right way to solve the problem, you're doing solution testing, and then in the end of the business lab you end up with a foundable company. And I feel like it's a very good course, maybe the best I took in university during my time studying. And surprisingly many teams decide to push on, I think, so that's really great.
I only gave a quick overview, but can you let me know, so what is your company, what does it do, and then outside of that, so let's say, what was the inspiration for the idea for coming up with this? Why did you try to focus on this space and solving this problem?
Okay, so shortly, our company is called Jollity, and it's where all of the family fun is in one place. So parenting, especially these days, is already hard, right? We have a lot of parents where both the parents are working. They have full-time jobs, and when they want to spend time with their kids, they have to manually look for that. And what we found out, there are pretty much these three most popular ways. It's browsing on Google, and it works for some time until you get to the third page of Google results. No one's going further than that. That's it, you're done. Maybe you found two good activities. Okay, that's okay for like a couple of weeks. A second option, Facebook groups. There you can find really, really good things, but there's zero organization of information there. And also, good luck finding that one activity you saw a week ago. You have to scroll through 30 pictures of Susan's grandchildren before maybe finding, if you're lucky, that one activity. And the third option, which is very, very good, but also limited in how many offers you can get, is asking your friends, your colleagues, your cousins. But they've also went through the first two steps, and they also have very limited chances to find something. So that's pretty much where we swoop in. We are a platform which aggregates all of the possible activities for you and your kids. So you could go and define, for example, that, okay, next Saturday, I want to spend no more than 2 hours doing something educational inside, not further than 10 kilometers from my home with my 3 and 8 year old. And I also want free parking. And there you would find exactly what already fits you. And then you would also be later to just book and pay for it. And then you're set. So essentially cutting down the process, which takes often an hour or even more, to a couple of minutes that you can easily do together with your also children at your dinner table.
Awesome. And kind of getting to the second part of the question, which was, what was the inspiration? I'm going to say you guys both look relatively young. So I don't know. My thought would be that you probably don't have families yet, but if I could be wrong. Where did this come from? What made you decide to kind of work on solving this problem for families?
Yeah, exactly. We don't have kids yet ourselves. That's very true. We're still coming in the age where some of our friends actually are starting to have kids, or cousins, or family relatives are starting to have kids. And that's actually what was the start of Geology, because Christopher's was talking to his cousin actually, who recently got a kid, and she told him how hard she finds it to find the right things to do with her kids, because she obviously wants to show them the greatest time possible and create memories for them. So since there wasn't a great solution currently, we thought about, hey, how could we help these families? How could we make their life easier and enable them to create great memories for their kids? So that's basically how it started.
Gotcha. And we were sort of, in the previous episode, we were sort of talking a lot about kind of platforms and kind of the different, let's say, networks that feed into them. How did you guys find out, let's say on one side you have the families, and then on the other side you have, for lack of a better term, the activity providers, people who are creating various types of activities for them. How did you go about bringing these people onto the platform? Maybe, you know, what value were you offering each side? You know, how did you convince them, like, hey, this is the place you want to be?
Yeah, this is actually a good question, because at first we also had this assumption, and we're trying to tackle this exact problem you're describing. Okay, how do we get them? But then we understood that we are, as a platform, in kind of a very convenient and honestly lucky position platform-wise, because the main pain we're solving for parents. So if we are connecting that to the previous podcast episode, the pretty much demand for activities, that's first problem is just finding that. And that when that biggest problem that we're solving, we can actually solve without the activity providers being our business partners per se. So essentially we are doing currently manual labor by compiling the activities, formatting them in a way where we can automatically process them and filter them. Essentially acting as at first as a browsing place. So we're basically solving this chicken egg problem by first creating users who are looking for activities. And then later on, once we have these actual users that return, that we can show to activity providers, that's already a measurable thing that we can provide to them and show. And that's what we'll be providing already to them, actual users. So actual egg, if you will, to the chicken.
Gotcha. I mean, so to some extent right now, you've almost are just kind of creating an aggregated database that is being presented in a nice way that people can find. And so you don't necessarily need to get the activity providers on board, because let's say most of this information is publicly available on the internet, for example.
Precisely. Yeah. And also, I would like to quickly comment the way we have decided to track like the possible actual engagement, like would they actually go through the app and the platform to actually book the activity. Currently, we have integrated this pretty much button, which they would later on use to purchase the tickets. But for now, it will just redirect to the specific page on the activity provider site, for example. But through that, we can track like actual engagement and traction for that activity, and actually people trying to go through with the transaction there. So that will be the measurement we're currently planning to use.
Well, to me, it sounds like, let's say, potentially the intermediary step on this would be to set up something essentially like the equivalent of an affiliate marketing agreement with whatever the end activity provider is. Is that kind of where you're going, or you're kind of more looking to, let's say, manage the entire transaction on your side, essentially like any delivery app, for example, right? They're the ones who are actually managing the transactions.
The latter, actually. Like for us, I think, or we think that the biggest next step would be that we become a ticketing platform as well. So like after browsing your activity, after finding it, you can actually also book it on Jollity. And yeah, that way we would also, of course, control the whole transaction, as you mentioned, which gives you quite some nice mechanisms, quite some nice market power as well. So that would be the logical next step. And then also, of course, the activity providers would become our business partners in this step.
Until you get sort of, let's say, a certain threshold of kind of a family network, I guess at the moment there's not really a value from the activity provider side, because you're sort of kind of keeping them out at the moment. But what kind of value do you foresee yourselves providing for them? Or I guess maybe at what point do you see, what threshold would you need to hit from the other network side for the activity providers to become interested in working with you guys moving forward?
Yeah, so actually we do not look at activity providers as homogenous group, because we see them there are two types of activity providers you can think of. There are the big established names, some of them even international names, that already have their ticketing systems, all of their online presence figured out, separate marketing budgets. But a lot of these family activities are small and medium businesses, which are often run by one or two people who do not have this capacity, let's say, to either market to the right people or even set up online payments in that. So that's our main value proposition to those. And essentially, it's free for them, right? Because they just pay commission based per all of the leads that go through us. And it would be harder for those established names that are doing well off theoretically without us. And for that, we would are thinking that we'd probably just have to bet on being popular enough with these small and medium businesses and users on family sides, so they would be just missing out on supply.
Gotcha. But with that in mind, it would appear to me that you could potentially engage the activity providers like earlier in the process if you are providing these value adds that, let's say, a lot of them aren't able to do themselves.
Yeah, that's true. So the answer for that is twofold, I believe. So first of all, it's just our current capacity is limited. We have a lot of work on our hands regarding already this one side. And actually, what I think previously, what I found interesting, you mentioned the affiliate marketing idea. And that was actually our first solution basis for a couple of weeks, I believe. But we found it hard to execute because, again, because of the small and medium business, all of them take business in cash. And a lot of them already have substantial discounts for kids, etc. And it would be hard to bring additional 5% discounts or whatever, and to track actual movement from us to them. Because, okay, you found activity on our platform, you go to the activity, you don't have as a parent value to say, hey, we came through Jollity. That's where we kind of fell through with that affiliate marketing idea with these small and medium businesses.
Okay, because... I'm just, for my own understanding, it sounds like, let's say, a number of the players in the industry, let's say, are not necessarily digitalized to the point where something like that makes sense. Was that the right way of thinking about it?
Yeah, I think so.
Got you.
Yeah, especially with these smaller, medium-sized ventures, let's say. Yeah.
Got you. Is out of curiosity, I don't know how much you've have or have not looked at that. Is that something that would, let's say, change depending on the markets you're looking at? Is that something that's, let's say, only, let's say in this case, only a Latvia problem? Or is that, do you think, something that's a more regional, global, I don't know, I'm just curious on your two cents.
I don't think this is limited to Latvia. The main markets we looked at were actually the Latvian market and the German market, because of the reason that first we want to prove the concept in Latvia and then later on move to Germany. And in Germany, it's pretty much the same. Like if you have bigger businesses, of course, they have more manpower and they have the means to digitalize and to have a nice appealing website with a ticket shop and everything. But if you have these very small businesses that are run by one, two people, potentially also run by a family, they are often not yet there. So I think that's where Jollity also can provide the most value on the provider side to these businesses.
Got you. One a thought that I have as I'm listening to you talk about this, and I'm kind of curious to hear you think on it. To me, it seems like, assuming that you can get kind of a decent sized user base, especially on the family side, that you're going to be generating a lot of data around kind of, let's say, family behavior and these types of things. And I'm just kind of curious, let's say, what value, kind of what kind of insights do you think you could get from the data that you'd be able to collect by observing this on your platform?
Yeah, that's very, very right. That's something we also realized very quickly and which we think later on will be a huge driver for the value we can provide. So possible implications of that are like very targeted advertising, because we kind of know exactly who wants to go to which activity at what times and stuff. So we can like very help out providers to target the right people at the right time. Another thing that we are thinking of implementing at a later point in time is like a business suite for the provider side, where they could like actually see all these insights themselves, and like for subscription fee, we don't know how much it will be yet, but yeah, for a subscription fee, they could subscribe to the pro version, kind of get the business suite and see all these insights and learn about their customers.
Gotcha. One thing that popped into my head, I imagine as well, you might be able to essentially create, let's say, unique like bundles or like experience packages by, let's say, combining activities in a way that would be relatively difficult to do on your own, if that makes sense, right? Is you would have all the data of, I don't know, let's just say everything within a certain area that's appropriate for like a 7-year-old, right? And you could potentially know that like, oh, you could do, I don't know, these two activities and maybe this particular restaurant or something, right, in a day or across multiple weekends or whatever. And you could probably just package that altogether in a way that might be, that I could imagine being very, very difficult doing otherwise, right? For as an individual.
Yeah, true, true. There's definitely like many applications that could be introduced later on. This one also sounds very interesting, I would say. But right now we are focusing like on the core thing, right? Like to create this platform, to make it possible for the families to get inspired, to find the right activities. But yeah, later on, there's a lot of options where we could go. And yeah, as we grow and as we excel, we're going to have a lot more data. We're going to know a lot more about the customers. And then yeah, we'll see what we do with that. But there's a lot of options on the table for sure.
Coming, kind of expanding on your growth point, how do you guys see, like, what do you see as your pathway for, I don't know, the kind of short to midterm, the next year or two? How do you see this expanding? What's next on your table? What's kind of the challenge that you see you're going to have to solve in this time period?
Okay. So in the Latvian market, we're actually looking at 200,000 families that are relevant to us. So that have like one or two children and that are young families. So the parents are between 25 and 45 years old. That's, let's say, kind of the total addressable market in Latvia. And what we are looking at is actually in the beginning, people who are using different kind of solutions right now that are very similar, but maybe not as good as the one we could provide. So what we found out in customer interviews a lot is that people are actually, Rainis mentioned it before, I think, using Facebook groups still a lot, which is, of course, quite unorganized. And it's very hard to keep track of what you should do and what the right activities are. So these are about 23,000 families actually that use these Facebook groups in Latvia right now. So we kind of see that as the share of market we wish to aim within the next 2 years.
So you're going to keep this relatively local for let's say the short term future.
Let's see. It also depends. It's like not it's we like to grow quicker. Of course, we like to grow as quickly as possible. And at the point where we see, okay, this concept works and it works on both sides, and we're actually able to monetize it as well, that's where we're going to also try to grow Jollity as a company and expand to Germany. And then it's going to, as the platforms, if they pick up, usually grow very quickly, right? And at that point, we're going to grow quicker, hopefully.
So from what you just said, to me, it sounds like you're going to be, let's say, using Latvia as a market to do proof of concept. Before expanding. Is there anything, just you can, I don't know, touch on this as you want. Is there anything about, let's say, the Latvian market in and of itself, either for you or in general, that makes it a particularly nice place to run your proof of concept and kind of as a starting country for what you guys are doing?
I believe that it's... Well, it depends on which side you look at from. For NICE, it's a nice place to approve it as a concept because, in our economic region, the disposable income is relatively lower than in markets like Germany, for example. So what it would mean to us if we are able to prove this concept here, it's on the paper based on... people's spending habits and disposable income should be then totally reproducible, if not even more easily reproducible, in countries like Germany.
To just, let's say, restate what you're saying, you're basically saying, let's say, because people have less disposable income here, there's, let's say, higher competition for the money that people spend. So if you're, let's say, successfully able to do it in a place with higher competition, in a place where, let's say, there might be not necessarily lower, but there's more money to go around, so maybe a little bit less competition, that you should be equally, if not more, successful. Is that a okay way to frame what you were suggesting?
Yeah, I believe that's well put.
No, awesome. Okay, and no, that's super cool. And then from that, sort of, what is kind of the next steps? Are you guys expanding your team? You're keeping it small. Who's on board?
Yeah, at one point, we will definitely also have to increase the team size, because with the three of us, it's not going to work for the longest time, right? And we actually right now already increased our team size. We're very happy about this. So we got a new designer on the team. And she basically also redesigned the whole web app. So now it looks really nice. And the UX, UI is also taken into account because the three of us weren't really experts on that, so we're very happy to have received help there. And that's the first person we added to the team. Later on, we are definitely going to need more qualified developers, because as I told you before, I'm a business informatician, but not an informatician fully. My skills will come to an end very soon, where I can't push it further. So then we actually need people to help us developing the application, because right now we're just with the web app for the beginning, but we definitely want to have a iOS and Android app. So that's where we also will extend the team size. Yes.
What do you guys kind of, before we wrap things up, what do you guys see that if someone happens to be listening to this, what do you guys think that you kind of need help on? In particular, I know you kind of mentioned we need some more developer talent, some more people to help you on the development side. But what are some of the other things that you feel like, hey, maybe someone's out there listening to, we need help. Where can we fit in?
Definitely the same as Justus mentioned. Development is certainly the part where we can use most help, because we have quite a wide range of competencies covered between ourselves, that being sales, marketing, IT, business, accounting. Relatively wide range. Also now professionally design and UX. So really development will be our biggest Achilles heel, as it's often for tech-based companies. So, yeah.
Perfect. I think that's kind of a good place to start wrapping this up. Final thoughts from both of you, anything you want to kind of close on before we wrap this up?
I just want to mention that if there is anyone who could, if you are listening to this, you yourself have children, you have smaller sisters, brothers, parents, cousins, whoever, who you think might really benefit from it. We are going to be launching before November, but you can also sign up at jalti.fun to be the first among our users, and we'll be happy to receive your feedback also. So that's jolity.fun. That's from my side. This may be something else from your side.
No, that were very good words, Rainey. So I would jump in with that. So yeah, if you're a young family, if you know young families who are looking to create memories for their kids, remember the name Jolity. We're about to launch soon, so we would be very happy if you check out our platform and see if you like it, see if it helps you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the ESI What's Next podcast. ESI is a program aimed at fostering socially responsible, environmentally sustainable student innovation through education and new venture creation. We're grateful to the European Regional Development Fund, Printify, SEB Bank, and Remy for their support. Tune in next week to find out what's next in the world of student entrepreneurship.